Because of Yi's time in Afghanistan, he was familiar with the country. One of his closest contacts was a senior intelligence officer for the Northern Alliance, a group at war with the Taliban for control of the country in the wake of the Soviet withdrawal. Moscow was the alliance's chief source of arms, and this contact, I'll call him Hamid, frequently traveled back and forth to Russia. During the Soviet occupation, the U.S. had supplied Stinger missiles to rebel groups fighting the Red Army. Once the USSR pulled out, however, American policy eventually changed. It became clear that jihadist groups, including Al-Qaeda, might use the missiles for terrorism. In 1995, President Bill Clinton signed an executive order to round up as many of the Stingers as possible in Afghanistan. Both Hamid and Yi knew what Sater was doing, who he was working for, and for the right price, they offered to help the Americans reacquire some of the missiles. Sater relayed this message to Blaine, who asked for proof. The Afghan sent photos of the serial numbers of the Stingers, paired with the same day's newspaper. Impressed, Blaine turned the matter over to the CIA, which was tasked with collection, and the agency began negotiating to buy back the missiles. Sater then began dealing with Langley. He believes his information helped the agency recover at least some of the missiles, but he can't say for sure. Late in 1998, Sater got a call from an FBI agent in New York named Leo Taddeo, who told him about an investigation into the pump-and-dump operation on Wall Street that Sater had left behind, part of a broader probe into the Italian mafia's expanding presence on Wall Street. The FBI had some dirt on Sater, who had gotten involved with two Brooklyn mob members, guys whose job it was to keep other mobsters away, before he went to Moscow, and Taddeo told him he was likely to be charged with fraud. If he came back and cooperated, a judge would take that into account at sentencing. A former FBI official in New York says Sater's story is accurate. Sater agreed to return to the States. He then called E and told him that what was going on, and the former intelligence official asked him to delay the trip, not saying why. 2 days later, E provided Sater with a packet of information from his Afghan contact, Hamid. It included numbers for the satellite phones used by a man then living near the Afghan border with Pakistan, Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, the jihad group that had just bombed the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. A former CIA officer familiar with Sater's story says the agency came to believe the numbers were authentic. When Sater arrived back in the United States in late 1998, he met with Jonathan Sack, the assistant U.S. attorney in New York's Eastern District, who was handling the stock fraud case. Sater told him what he had been doing in Moscow, and the CIA and DIA backed up his claims. Both agencies wanted their assets sent back to Moscow, but Sack was unmoved, and Sater was mystified. "So I'm giving the CIA bin Laden's phone numbers," he tells them, "and this guy Sack is more concerned with going after Vinnie Bumbats." Sater pleaded guilty to fraud and agreed to help the feds with the stock issue. "I did 10 or 15 debriefings," he says. "They ended up satisfied." Sack agreed to delay his sentencing. Clinton, that summer, had ordered an airstrike on Al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan, based in part, former CIA sources say, on information Hamid had passed on. "The CIA really wanted me to go back to Moscow at this point," Sater says, but Sack and the FBI still wouldn't allow it. In late 2000, as Sater helped the feds take on the mob, he also tried to make some money. He joined a real estate business, Bayrock, and the company managed to get a few deals, he says. His work as a government informant was equally fruitful. Two FBI sources say Sater's cooperation would eventually help turn Frank Coppa, captain in the Bonanno crime family, into a cooperating witness against the mob organization. A real turning point in the war on the mafia, a source says. Eventually, his cooperation on the stock scam helped the feds get 19 guilty pleas, according to Sater and law enforcement officials. That figure seemed significant at the time, and Sater says he hopes it helped atone for his crimes. But the mafia cases would turn into an afterthought compared with his next role, one that was even more improbable.